Okay, we are back once again this week with Peter and myself. My name is Harlem. Peter Nicolaitis over on the East Coast covering Ubuntu news over there. How are things going, Peter?
Things are just ducky. It's like spring over here. It was in the high 40s or low 50s yesterday at the end of the day and about the same today. So feels like time to get my mountain bike out, except I know I'd probably just kill myself on the ice if I did. But other than that, it's great.
That's good, because it's also getting about time to be spring around here, too. It was in the 50s yesterday, kind of gloomy today, some overcast, and that's okay, but it's still in the mid-50s. We're looking forward to that 60-degree weather. It should be coming up next week, and I'm hoping that you guys get the same, too. So, how have things been going since we last talked? Any, you know, big surprises or anything like that?
No big surprises. I'm feeling better. I'm feeling, you know, we'll get to this later in the feedback part, but I got some feedback, Lev.
Excellent.
I got some feedback, some emails, some Twitters from, you know, my true fans.
Not FL6 or...
No, real fans. You know, not people who are like trying to, you know, kick me off the podcast or anything like that, or, you know, credit you with all of my hard work. You know, those people. Not them. Yeah. Yes, not them.
Well, that's anyway. Good. We also got a nice little message from Randy this week, so we're going to get to that. Yep. And it's not to me, it's to you. So, something, you're getting a lot of love this week.
Slash anyway. Me the love.
Anyway, let's get on with the news, and that'll be coming up in just a few moments. We're back with the news, and let's see here. What do we have first out of the box? I think that's yours, Peter.
First out of the box, news item today would be distro updates and release announcements. And the first one we have today is Hardy Heron Alpha 6. Ubuntu 8.04 Alpha 6 was released just today, in fact. So, I haven't had a chance to really look over what's different between Alpha 5 and 6, because at this point, you know, they usually start cranking them out really quickly as they ramp up towards the end, because we've got, what, about a month and a half left until the final release. So I don't know what exactly has changed, except you can count on a lot of new, you know, bug fixes, because they just constantly fly when you're doing stuff like this. Now, I forget, have you had a chance to install a Hardy Alpha yet?
Not yet. I've been so... I'm really, you know, kind of pensive about doing that kind of stuff, the Alpha releases. You know, I use both computers for production work, and I can't take that risk. But I'm thinking about putting Alpha 6 on here, because I'm reading up a lot on the default programs on there, and they look really cool. Especially, mm-hmm. I especially want to check out Pulse Audio. Now, you can put Pulse Audio in Gutsy. But this one is default Pulse Audio, and I just want to see how that works. Also, I want to check out Beta 3 of Firefox, too, and I hear that is really awesome.
I didn't really care for it. I tried it out a couple weeks ago back when I was sick. You remember when I get sick, I do stupid things like KDE, which, you know, I think is still a beta, and Firefox 3 beta, and, you know, Fedora and stuff like that. Yeah, I installed it, and it did all kinds of nothing earth-shattering. But I really did not care for the new placement of some of the buttons on the favorites bars and stuff like that. But anyway, I did actually. I have a copy of Hardy Alpha 5 installed on one of my older laptops, and I definitely noticed some improvements, some added functionality in some of the common programs that I use, just like, you know, administering the system. I didn't have a chance to play with like some of the new advertised features yet. Mm-hmm. But then I did something and hosed networking and just haven't had a chance to go back. And I just said, you know what, I'm just going to install over with the newest version, which means I should start downloading it now. It's, it's out.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I'm, I've been, keeping the pulse on what's going on with Firefox 3, and people on Twitter and people on Palace have been saying some good things about it. I haven't heard really that bad of a review from it, except from you, apparently.
Well, no, it was okay. I just, I was fiddling around with the network settings, I think, and I trashed something. And the other thing is the artwork. I didn't really care for the default desktop, but, that's nothing new, right?
Right. Especially when you're on medication.
Especially when you're on medication. Oh, you're talking about Firefox. Sorry, I was talking about Alpha Hardy.
Oh, anyway. Okay. Sorry, yeah. I didn't. I'm a little confused.
Whatever. Maybe I'm still on medication. I don't know.
We both are.
Anyway, also for distro releases this week, Mythbuntu 8.04 Alpha 3 is out. Mythbuntu is lagging a little bit, but they're tracking the Hardy release. And again, Mythbuntu is the MythTV release of Ubuntu. So if you want to turn this into a PVR replacement and manage all your television shows, and you're an Ubuntu fan, here you go, pre-made MythTV box.
Yes, this one is this one is kind of causing me to salivate a little bit too, because this is the second Mythbuntu release, and the first one was Gutsy. And before that, you could also install MythTV on Ubuntu, but you had to do it through the repositories. This one is the second one, already made out a distro or a live CD. And this is, I'm wondering if they made it a little bit easier this time. So I may actually put this one on my other machine. So we'll see.
Cool. Yeah. So. I've never played with Mythbuntu or MythTV, really. So I don't really watch that much television to make it worth it, I guess.
You don't have a TV.
So, I don't.
That's nope. Right.
That would kind of hinder my TV watching, I guess.
Yeah, it would.
Anyway, also released this week, Kiwi Linux version 8.03. Kiwi Linux is based on Ubuntu, and this is actually based on Ubuntu Gutsy 7.10, and it is basically focused towards Romanian, and I thought I read somewhere Romanian and Hungarian users. So if you're in Romania or Hungary and you want your own custom Ubuntu distro, here you go.
Also, German language packs are added as well.
Excellent.
So, yep. The one cool thing about Kiwi is that the Metabuntu repositories are also activated by default, so you can all easily download Skype, Google Earth, other kinds of packages like that that maybe people on the Windows and Mac side are more familiar with. So, yep. Just want to let you know.
That's what it's there for.
That's right.
Speaking of easy access to codecs and all those fun things, Linux Mint, the KDE edition, Linux Mint 4.0 KDE, was released this week as well.
Yeah.
Also based on Gutsy. And so Mint, of course, its claim to fame is that it's all, it's basically a more polished Ubuntu. And I have only played with it in a VM, but it does look very nice. So if you think that Ubuntu is fairly polished already, then, they take it to the next level. So if you're a Mint fan or a Mint user, or you just want to try out something to see what Ubuntu might become, then take a look. Linux Mint.
No, really, is it much more polished?
From what I saw, I didn't see all that much of a difference, but again, I was running it in a virtual machine, so I wouldn't have been able to take advantage of all the, additional hardware support, and I didn't really, use it to play a lot of videos or movies or things like that. So, I don't know. From what I hear and from what I read, they say that it is, but, it could be just marketing speak. I really don't know.
Yeah. Well, we shall see. Go.
That pretty much wraps it up for distros.
Yep.
But related to distros, remember our friends over at EverX who released the GOS and
right.
the GOS and the $200 computer from Walmart around Christmas time last year.
Which I have an email about that. Someone actually sent me an email. about that $200 computer, so I'll read that in the email section of our podcast.
Curious to see how they compare to my father's experiences.
So, yeah.
The EverX folks have come out with their own Mac Mini killer or clone or alternative, however you want to call it.
Rip off.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, I like that. Rip off. It's $499. Comes with 1 year of tech support and pretty much the same setup as the regular EverX PC. Google, Mozilla, Skype, OpenOffice. You know, it's an internet thing.
Mm-hmm.
This one is different. It's not using the VIA processors that the other desktops were using. They actually have a Pentium dual core processor in these guys, and a little 120 gigabyte hard drive, and half a gig of memory in them with a DVD writer. So, you know, it's not going to be super duper powerful, but this one strikes me as actually being a little beefier than the regular, you know, $200 desktop unit was.
Yep.
So not just smaller, but tougher too.
Yeah, it looks fine to me. I mean, the 512 megabytes of RAM might be a little small for my taste, even when you are running Linux, specifically Ubuntu. I'm running Ubuntu on 512 megs of RAM on my desktop, and seems to be pretty, you know, it's right there on the edge. You know, it's fast enough to do the things that I need to do, but probably not good enough for, say, video editing, that kind of thing. So, wonder if you'd be able to upgrade the memory on here.
Well, I don't know. I haven't actually read about that. I would imagine you probably could, but it may be a bit of a process. I guess that's a good question, is how difficult would it be to, you know, crack the case on this thing to do an upgrade? Because the Mac Mini, I mean, they intentionally make that. They keep you out, and you need a special tool or a putty knife to basically get into the thing to do an upgrade.
Let me see, a $40 tool or a $2 putty knife?
Exactly. Well, actually, I had to buy the $8 putty knife because the plastic one was too thick to get in there. So I had to buy one with a metal metal blade in it.
Oh, bummer.
But yeah. Oh, Scott and I talked about that on the Mac New podcast when I did it, and boy, I was nervous. Like, you wouldn't believe when I was. Well, you know, you're sticking this putty knife about three quarters of an inch into the computer, and then you're like prying the thing apart. And if you know exactly what you're doing, it's not that big a deal. But this, if you're kind of, you know, living a little bit on the edge and you haven't actually done this sort of thing before, it's a little unnerving when you do it the first time.
Yep.
Anyway, so that's enough about the Mac Minis for now. The next one, I believe, was yours on Full Circle.
Yep. Full Circle magazine is on issue number 10. But what I think is significant here is that they have just recently started a podcast. So I believe that they are through with all of the technical difficulties, as they put it themselves, and they should be having a podcast coming out very soon. So let's throw our support their way. I'd like to have them on our show one of these days. That'd be cool to have them on too.
Mm-hmm. Now, you and I, we toyed briefly with the idea of applying to be the official Full Circle podcast, didn't we?
Yes, we did. I actually had a couple of emails go back and forth, and for some odd reason, it just did not work out for either of us, and perhaps for the best. In either case, you know, I wish them the best of luck, and
absolutely,
we will certainly support that podcast as well, or support it in the way that we normally support things, through our podcast. We don't make a lot of money over here on this side of the
river. We'll support them like, hey, you got my support.
Yes,
right? Like that.
That's right. Exactly. But they do put out a good magazine, and they're on issue number 10, which is, it is the 11th issue, because they started out with issue 0.
Excellent.
So,
well, in that case, I'm happy to be a proud supporter of Full Circle Magazine.
Yes, yes.
So,
we pledge our support.
All right. What do we have next?
And last but not least is the 6 degrees of Jono Bacon. Google is likely to get European union approval to buy DoubleClick, and this came out March 5th on Bloomberg, Bloomberg.com. European regulators plan to approve Google Inc.'s proposed $3.1 billion takeover of DoubleClick Incorporated without conditions, rejecting complaints by Microsoft Corporation that the deal would hurt competition, according to the three people with direct knowledge of the case. So, sounds like the Google empire is expanding their empire, and we'll see how that goes. I know, whenever we talk about Google, it's this sort of love-hate kind of thing. We love what they do, all the free things that they give us, but we hate the fact that we give, you know, basically a lot of information to them.
All your privacy belong to us.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, but I've said it before, I think online privacy is dead, or if not, it's dying. So just be careful what you put out there.
Absolutely. And finally, from the Why Won't You Die department, SCO, SCO, they're back in the news again. They have ousted their former CEO, McBride, Ted McBride, whatever, I don't care, and they'll never like the guy anyway. Darryl McBride, that's what it is. He's gone, but they're still going to pick up those Linux and Unix license lawsuits against IBM and Novell, so that's awesome. You'd think that anyone with a clue would come in and say, wow, this was a really, you know, terrible pattern, but apparently I guess he just wasn't good enough at pressing these, baseless lawsuits. At least, well, in my opinion, baseless. But
yeah.
I'm not a judge. What do I know?
Well, I mean, somebody thinks that it's not baseless. They got $100 million in financing. So
exactly.
Somebody thinks, you know, that they might win something, but who knows? It's one of those things that I don't know. It's unwinnable for them, and they're just throwing good money after bad away. So, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever they want to do.
Yep. Good luck, guys. No, not really.
So that is going to wrap it up for the news this week, I think. Is that right?
That is.
Yeah, you don't have any more. I don't have any more. So we got coming up next is a Man Page Minute this week. Peter has put one together for us, and I'll just let him take over.
Welcome to the Man Page Minute. This week we're covering the RM command. RM is short for remove, and for those of you coming over from DOS or Windows, this is like the del command, the delete command, only it's more powerful. For starters, the RM command works like this. You say RM space, and then the name of the file or the list of files that you want to remove. So for instance, if I have a file in my working directory called temp, and I want to remove it, I just say rm space temp, and it goes away. Now, if it is a directory, then it's a little more complicated. We have a couple of options. So if you want to remove a directory or a folder, you would say rm space dash d space, and then the name of the directory. You can also say dash f and dash r. Now, what those two do are force, dash F is force, which basically does not prompt you to confirm a deletion, and dash R, which is recursive. What that will do is go down into a directory or a folder tree. So, for instance, if you had several folders on your desktop, and you were sitting in your home directory, and you typed rm space dash rf space desktop, you would delete your entire desktop folder and everything in it. I don't advise that you do this. Another command that you may see is rm-rf/, and what that will do is basically remove everything from the root file system on down. Assuming, of course, that you have permissions to do so. So for instance, if you were logged in as root and you typed in rm-rf/ and hit enter, you would basically nuke your whole file system. You don't want to do that either. Well, I mean, maybe you do, but not in the everyday course of business. couple of other options with the RM command. There's V for verbose, will basically show you the files that it's deleting as it removes them. The I for interactive option will prompt you for each file. By default, it does neither of these, meaning that you won't be prompted to remove a file, nor will the command tell you what it is removing. So for instance, if you wanted to remove a bunch of files in your home directory and you wanted a list of them as they were going, and you wanted to be prompted every time to make sure you didn't accidentally delete something, you could say rm-iv, and then the name of the file or the list of files that you wanted to remove. Now, as with most Unix commands, you can use wildcards so that if you said star, for instance, instead of a file name, that will just take everything in the directory you specified. And if you don't specify a directory, it will do everything in the working directory. That's the remove command, rm, and until next week, have fun deleting some files.
All right, Peter, thank you very much for that Man Page Minute, and we are back with the rest of the show, and I think what we have left now is just community stuff. Community stuff meaning our own Fresh Ubuntu community that is rapidly growing by leaps and bounds, mind you.
Yes, definitely. Don't forget the bounds.
The bounds are important here at Fresh Ubuntu. So what are we going to do first? Shall we go to the emails and that kind of thing?
Yeah, let's talk about the feedback that we got. Oh, that's my phone. Hold that thought. You want to?
Hello?
Yeah. Sorry, that was okay. My telephone. That's what happens when you record at the office, you know? Let me see, who's calling? No, that can wait. Okay. It's after 5 o'clock here. We're closed. I don't need to answer that.
Hey, you can let them... get the voicemail to get it, right?
Exactly.
Which is my voice.
And I still have to... I haven't actually put your voice on them yet. I've still got those files sitting on my desktop, and I was just looking at that this morning saying, I really got to clean my desktop off. So I just haven't gotten around to doing that yet.
Okay. Okay, let's get on with the emails. This one is from Doug, who sent me an email from the website, the contact page. And it said, this is a message from way back, from On Kyle in the House. He says, you guys asked about the low-end PCs in the wild. That is the EverX PC. I have one of the Walmart EverX PCs running a Myth TV backend at my house. It is a low power, approximately 40 watts out of the box, was attractive, and it was my first major foray into replacing all the Windows machines in my house. My Windows Beyond TV box had crashed, in parentheses. He rescued the PVR cards, a 500 and a 350, and a 200 gigabyte hard drive from his Windows box. It was challenging, and he made the switch to Mythbuntu 7.10 before the how-to had been completed. I wonder how that went. All said, it now runs flawlessly. The hardware is sufficient and easy to work with internally. The cards offload the majority of the work from the processor and subsystem. Approximately 10 watts total additional power and only while operational. I haven't been listening to the podcast for very long, but I like what I hear. Keep up the great work, Doug. So there you go. We have an EverX PC out there in the wild, someone who actually has one, and he turned his into a Mythbuntu box or a Myth TV box, and that's kind of cool. So
yeah, it's kind of funny. For a lot of small tasks, you really don't need a beefy, super powerful server to do them. When you think of professional hosting operations and things, yeah, obviously you're talking a whole different ball game. But for a small home server to do something like that, you know, whether it's an old box, you've got an older Pentium class machine or Pentium 2, Pentium 3, or an underpowered for, you know, maybe real heavy duty desktop applications box, but something like that would be just fine for, you know, a small server, small file server, or music media server, or something to that effect.
Yeah, perfect for that kind of thing. That's what I did to, well, my laptop. I just erased XP off of there and put Ubuntu, but that was ages ago, 2 years ago. So The next one is from Cafe Ninja. He wrote back, and he had to make a comment about he heard the point brought up during the interview with Chad, and wanted to say that the Skype interview that him and I did in the Cafe Ninja episode was done using the native Zandros over Wi-Fi and not using Ubuntu. He says he hadn't yet made all the sound tweaks to Ubuntu at the time of the air. It still does work, but honestly, it's not as nice as whatever ALSA-FU they put into the original Zandros for the triple EPC. And if you recall in that episode, I was astounded. He was using the built-in microphone on the EEEPC, and I was totally amazed because he sounded very good, crystal clear. And this is a guy who is living in Italy, and I was just very amazed, and, you know, over Skype and everything. It was great.
Yep.
So, and then he says he's going to get an 8 gig EEEPC next week, and I believe I emailed him a couple of days ago, and I think he's got one now. So, lucky for him. Let me see here. What is next? Oh, you got something, right? I think that's it.
Yeah, I got some. Yeah, I got some emails, and actually, I had a couple of emails from listeners, and a bunch of Twitter direct messages and replies, and got a blog comment. Someone listened to the episode where I complained about having trouble installing World of Warcraft, and it was signed T. Wright. And I don't remember if he's following me on Twitter also or not. This was actually last week. And he said, "Hi, I just heard you on Fresh Ubuntu trying to get World of Warcraft working. If you install WineDoors, it's just a one-click install." And thank you. Actually, I have tried WineDoors. I gave it a shot. And installation actually was not the problem. The trouble is all the tweaking and stuff that comes after it. And what WineDoors actually does is it does a lot of that tweaking for you. It's basically if you follow the how-to on the Ubuntu forums to how to get Warcraft running, WineDoors basically automates a lot of that stuff for you, modifications to the configuration files and other things that you might have to set, you know, virtual registry entries and things. Unfortunately for me, it's still not working, and I don't know whether it's, you know, peculiarities with my graphics card or what, so I'm still having to boot into Windows to play Warcraft, but I do appreciate the comment, and if anyone else has any more suggestions for how to get Warcraft working, I'm more than open to them.
I think I sent you a tweet on that. Some guy on Flickr had it running on his Ubuntu machine, mm-hmm. and posted his website, or not website, but his desktop on Flickr.
Yeah. Oh, I know plenty of people who've got it working. I just don't know anyone who's got it with my exact hardware configuration. So
it could be specific to you.
Yeah, I've just got to, you know, wait until I have a little more time and dive into it again, and it depends. But I'm actually taking a little bit of a break from Warcraft now, so I haven't been spending much time on that. But, yeah, there you go. also got an email yesterday from listener Paul. Let's see, he's from Ontario, so he probably pronounces his last name Gilbert. If it was in Montreal, it'd probably be like, you know, Gilbert, but anyway. He says, "Hi, Peter. Just finished listening to Fresh Ubuntu, and it was suggested we send you an email." Okay, here's my email. Hope all is well. Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much. I do appreciate it.
He follows you on Twitter too, right?
I think he does. I'm not sure. I was going to say, kind of lame, but not as bad as the one I got from Jason last week. So, you know, it's an improvement. I'll take it. Exactly. No, seriously, Paul, any feedback is good feedback. Thank you very much.
Right.
Also had a bunch of Twitter replies and messages. We've been having fun on Twitter, as we tend to do. Mm-hmm. I've also been hanging out periodically in the Linux basement and a lot of Linux links IRC channels on Freenode. Mm-hmm. So hanging out with Dave and Chad and the gang and saying hi to them. It's okay, you know, it's kind of fun, but I'm really more of a fan of the Twitter side of things, I think.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I've got I drag Chad into it, and he curses my name every day for that now, but he loves it and can't stop. Now we, you know, I like the Twitter aspect that it's in semi real time. You know, it's like it's what I call just in time. You know, it's not real time like IRC,
right?
But you don't have to be there. It's more like, you know, it's more like email in the sense that you can get your stuff offline and asynchronously. But if people are online, you can, you know, have a discussion almost like an instant messenger. Just before we recorded, like the minute we started recording, I was exchanging messages back and forth with Michael Ram. And, you know, just an example of what you can do. You can sort of use it as an IM, but I don't. I know some folks are saying that, you know, they just don't get it and, you know, again, it's not, if yes, there are people out there who are just blogging, you know, like, okay, it's time to go to the fridge for another beer. Okay, I'm stuck in traffic. Okay, it's cold today. But, you know, that's the kind of stuff I've got to start paring down, you know, so people who are really doing mostly that kind of stuff, I'm not really going to, you know, be following that sort of thing so much. And they discussed this on Twit this week also. Yeah. But what I plan on, you know, doing is, you know, building the core, you know, of followers, though. If you're a listener to the podcast, I'll be a little more forgiving and I won't, you know, I'll follow you even if you're, you know, a little too chatty for my tastes. But what happens is, you know, a lot of the good stuff comes up. Now, I know if you follow someone like Scobalizer or, you know, Robert Scoble or Jason Calacanis, they tend to be very self-promoting. But also I follow Guy Kawasaki, and he's, you know, he's one of the biggest shameless self-promoters out there on the internet, and, you know, it works for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've actually direct messaged back and forth a couple of times, and so I think it's just kind of neat. Like, it's a new venue where you might not actually have any sort of access to these, you know, A-list web celebrities where you do now. So I think it's just, it's kind of interesting. But, you know, really to understand the whole usefulness and utility of social networking and Twitter and things like that, you really just have to be on there for a while and check it out. And that's all I have to say on that at the moment.
And I think once you build up a following, you know, or follow, you know, those people who want to follow you and all that kind of stuff, you get a little bit more into it too. You know, there are things that you can share on there, you can put links on there, and I see a lot of people, most specifically bloggers, who post their blog posts on there for others to see, and that's kind of cool too. And I will also get breaking news and that kind of stuff. So there's plenty of uses for Twitter, and I'd like to get something up and running for our own special group, I guess you could call it. Having an IRC channel just requires almost too much work, where you gotta almost be there all the time, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. A lot like a forum, if somebody's, I kind of think of it as sort of a storefront. If no one's there minding the store, nobody will come, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yep. So,
The cool thing with Twitter is that you can walk away from it and, you know, come back an hour, 2 hours, or even the next day and, you know, catch up on it real easily. So,
right. Well, like an example of that was on the last Linux Action show, the Brian and Chris were talking about, oh, you know, we've got the IRC chat room, and they mentioned, you know, gee, I don't think either of us has.
You're cutting out.
Oh, sorry. Am I still here?
Yep. Now, go ahead and repeat that whole thing that you just said.
Okay. Over on the Linux Action show, they mentioned the other day, they mentioned their IRC chat room, and they were saying, you know, yeah, visit us on, you know, come on over to our IRC room. Boy, I don't think we've been in there for like 3 months or whatever they said. And I said, well, if you guys aren't there, then why would I want to go?
Right.
You know? So, yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. And that's the nice thing about, you know, Twitter being offline and stuff. And, you know, until you get, like, so famous that you have thousands of messages coming at you right. all the time, which I really don't think you and I have to worry about that you anytime soon.
No. Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a neat little way to interact with them. I recommend it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, you know, we should get something started with these with this Twitter thing. Maybe I'll put a blog post. I don't know how you guys, the listening audience, would like to do it, especially those who are already following us and listening to the show. I would like you to get in touch with other followers and listeners of this same show as well. So I don't know how we're going to do that, either through a blog post or what. What other suggestions can you think of? Please set a comment or go ahead, Peter.
I've got a few ideas just to, you know, give some folks some ideas. And, you know, like I said, like Harlem said, we're welcome to more. But we could make a Facebook group. We could just put a big blog post and say, you know, here's the fresh Ubuntu roll call. Put yourself there and, you know, just add yourself in a comment. You know, like with your Twitter ID, for instance. We could make forums, you know, could install. You said the site's running on, is it running on Joomla now, or are you running on Drupal?
WordPress still.
Still on WordPress. Okay. But
so I can put up a page with all the IDs and stuff. But
yeah, we could do all sorts of things. So we'd like to hear from the listeners, see what your ideas what's your preference for a fresh Ubuntu community. Right? How would you like that community to look? And technically speaking, how would you like it to be, you know, to manifest?
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess one cool thing about Twitter is that now Dave Yates is on there, and
allegedly.
But somebody tweeted, you know, I had my 400th tweet just this morning, actually, or maybe last night, and somebody said, "Congratulations." The question is, you know, now that Dave Yates is on there, the question is, how long is it going to take Dave Yates to get his first tweet out? And so I just would. Like, I want to hear some feedback about that. When do you guys think Dave Yates will do his first tweet? Will it be in what a week, a month, what? So send us your comments also to freshubuntu@gmail.com or peter@freshubuntu.org or harlem@freshubuntu.org. What else do we got here? What else?
Well, you got a present in the mail, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, I just want to thank Kyle Skrinak, who was kind enough to send us a nice donation to the podcast. And I just want to thank him very much. Kyle Skrinak, nice donation. He actually sent us a book called Drupal Pro Development, and I've been delving myself into that as much as I possibly can, even though it's well above my head. But in any case, the reason why he sent it was because I have been thinking about changing the website's content management system from Joomla or from WordPress to either Joomla or Drupal. And so, actually, Joomla's sort of in the forefront right now. I've been doing a lot of things with Joomla, and I might be leaning to that. So look for a change. I don't know how long it's going to take me. Look for a change soon, sometime this year, though. So. Anyway.
What about, I think we had a voicemail, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. You know, thanks for reminding me. Otherwise, I'd be forgetting all these things and crazy.
I'm here to keep you on track.
We got another voicemail from our web call button on the website at freshubuntu.org. Let me talk about the web call button first. All right, Peter. Basically, if you go to the website at freshubuntu.org, there's a little web call button on the site. It's on the right sidebar, and you can't miss it because it looks like a crumpled up old piece of paper, and it's over there. What you do is, once you go to the site, and let me pull that site up here. Once you get to the site, all you would do is press on that little web call button there, and as soon as that thing loads up on my super fast machine, getting there it is. Okay, so it looks like a crumpled up old piece of paper. It says Grand Central on there. You press on it, and it will ask you for a phone number, which is going to be your phone number, and it could be your cell phone, or it could be your home phone. And your name, and then there will be a little call me button there. Maybe I should change the graphic on there because it looks kind of ambiguous how it's done. But in any event, you input your name, you input your number, Grand Central will call that phone that you put into the the box there, the text box, and you'll be able to leave a voicemail, which is what Randy did. So, Randy, this is his second voicemail. We're going to play it for you right now. I hope you can hear this.
Hey, guys, it's Randy out here. I was just... You know, you're looking for the theme song for Flesh and Ubuntu, and I'm sitting here listening to this song they played out. A familiar talk show that happens every Wednesday. I really like it. It's got some really neat drum sounds to it. You know, Three Ghosts from the Nine Inch Nails. It's got that... The drums in it would be a really good theme, I think, for Flesh and Ubuntu. It's a fresh song. It's Flesh and Ubuntu. Sounds kind of African, maybe, you know, with those drums. But just my thoughts, 2 cents. Anyway, talk to you later, Iron Man. Bye.
Iron Man, huh? He was talking about
yes,
you,
that's
right?
Me. Yes. Yeah, we were talking. If you, I'm a big sci-fi guy and comic book reader, and I've always liked Iron Man. So my Twitter background page has been Iron Man for a while, and Randy was kind enough to dig up the Iron Man tux, so the little Linux Penguin tux in an Iron Man suit, and he sent that to me, and so now that's my Twitter icon. So if you look at me on Twitter, I'm a little Iron Man tux. So that's what he's talking about. Thanks, Randy.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for all this community stuff. As I said, I don't have much more else to say today. So do you have anything else, Peter?
I think that pretty much wraps it up.
Good. Okay. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week, this week's Fresh Ubuntu. And we're looking forward to next week's. Well, I guess that's going to do it. Have a good day, everybody, and I don't know, you have any last words?
No.
Yeah, me either. All right, bye.